Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your prayers. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. New King James Version. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious. Be serious. Be serious. Be serious. Have you ever met somebody and there's a very serious and critical matter on the ground and then the person is laughing? My mother is dying. Your mother is dying, but you are laughing. How can you be laughing that somebody is not feeling well, or somebody is sick, or somebody is not? So you're going to find people who commonize, who treat less weighty, who give less importance to something that is supposed to be giving a lot of weight or a lot of importance. So when you find yourself giving great importance to things that matter, you will be called a serious person. You would find earnestness in a serious person. You would find sincerity in a serious person. When you find somebody that is serious, you're going to find a depth of thought or action with the person. You know, the person is not careless. Not careless. He pays attention to details, and he knows how to give weight to matters. Now, when we say somebody is a serious person, it has nothing to do with one's facial expressions. It's not necessarily someone who never smiles or laughs. No. But the person knows how to give utmost importance to matters that need urgent attention. You see someone who is serious, the person is sound in the mind, thinks critically into issues, responds to them. They handle matters carefully. You'll find them reliable whenever they are supposed to be. So Peter is saying that we should be serious. You will oftentimes find out that serious people are highly discerning as well. They are able to think matters through, think them carefully, pay attention to what is happening, and then give of their best. So, in being serious, It's not, we're not saying that you should not smile. You can be a very smiley person and then a very serious person, because you know what to do, you know how to do, and you pay attention to what is given you to do in any situation. I showed you yesterday how that in Mark's account, the man who was mad and cut himself, you know, the word that was used for sound mind is the same word that is used for a serious person. So, everybody listening to me, please hear me and hear me well. See, so that you don't have any regrets in your future. And they say, oh, I should have taken this thing seriously. And I should have given myself to it very seriously. I now regret that when I went to school, I should have studied hard, but I was not serious. I should have taken this course, but I was not really serious. This ministry thing, if I had paid attention to it, nobody would have even been a pastor more than I am. See, it is because you are not serious. Today, I'm going to be showing you another story that paints a very good picture of people who are serious from people who are not serious. Yes. And then we'll see how that we can be known as serious people. I've told you that if anybody looks at you and tells you that, oh, you are too serious, and something we won't even, we are not even serious about it, you just, it means you are wise. See, it means that you are wise. That's what it means. It means that you are a wise person. It means you don't take things for granted. It means you are able to do what you are supposed to do. And I can tell you that lack of seriousness is a deficit of wisdom. When you find somebody who is not serious, if you want to say, in other words, you don't want to use the word serious, in other words, say, please, you are not being wise. It means you are not being serious. So, when you find somebody who is not serious about anything, what that means is that the person lacks a certain kind of wisdom, because it is wisdom that causes you to say, I need to be serious about this, I need to be serious about that, I need to pay attention to this, I need to pay attention to that, I need to do this, I need to do that. So when you lack wisdom, you will find yourself trivialize certain things that you should be taking very seriously in your life. Yes. That's why a lot of wisdom comes with experience. Yes, wisdom doesn't come with mere age. It's because there's age attached to experience. There are things you get to experience. And so, because you it sort of opens your mind to it. But thank God for God's word that we do not have to experience something before we become wise. We can become wise because we read and we act on the word of God. So when you find somebody who is not serious, the person is not wise. The person lacks a certain kind of wisdom. Why would they send you to school? And then, you know, one of the things I always tell students is that you leave your houses Eh? Some of you have to come 3 hours, drive 4 hours, some 6 hours, some 8 hours, some 12 hours. You sleep the whole 12 hours. You are in the car, you sleep the whole 12 hours. Then you get to a certain spot. They give you a small bed. And then they say, stay here for 4 months or 3 months, sometimes even more. Stay here. Then you stay there for all the 4 months, or you stay there for all the 5 months. And you are sleeping and you don't even go to class. So how, like, when I think about it, I don't really, because when I think about it, the factors that surround that makes me say that no, it's not good not to learn. Your parents are sending you money, sending you provisions. You confine yourself to a small environment or space. You go to class, you come back, go to class, you come back, go. In fact, because of school, you have to leave your house and come to a place you do not know, a place you don't even know. You leave there, you travel, and then you get into that place just because of studying. Then you go there and you say, I'm not going to study. You see, you are not wise. And what is happening is that you lack a certain kind of a wisdom. But thank God he's giving it to us via this teaching. You see a young lady or a young man, and then they say there's something called relationship that leads to marriage. And that relationship that leads to marriage, you are going to be in it forever. There's nothing like inside, I've changed my mind. It's nothing like that. I chose. No. It's like, try your luck. You have that balloon thing, they put the numbers on. See, I didn't get. Okay. Now I have a small one. It's a small one. You see? So when you see that it's something like that you are going in for, there ought to be a certain kind of a wisdom to it. You need to be serious and not take it for granted and not treat it like it does not really matter. You see? They say that you are a sojourner on the earth. This, your outer body, is in fact, by 75 years, you see that it starts to break down. It starts to want to go back. It's like your spirit wants to go back to where it came. 80, 85, 90, 95, 100. And then they say that there is a reality of God that far surpasses where you are. And you know very well that is true. You have had experiences of supernatural things that are happening. You've read the Bible. You believe it. You see, then you see that somebody is supposed to be wise and say, this thing is really true. Because, you see, if you are a very serious person and you sit down just one day and you look at the way the world is, say, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60, people start going. Say, where are they going to? You should ask yourself, right? Where are they going? Where are they going? 70, 75. Some of you have gone to 2 funerals, 3 funerals, 4 funerals. You've seen dead bodies. Like, you see, if you are wise and you see a dead body once, not even 2 times, just once, you say, no. I think there's something I need to be taking. What actually powers up the flesh to have its existence? It means that this thing they are saying, spirit, is really true. So you also start becoming wise in relation to that. You start becoming wise. So you see that when you see somebody lacking enthusiasm, you know, not sound in the mind, not serious, not eager, not earnest, not diligent, is because the person lacks a certain kind of wisdom. They say there is a, what do you call it? Okay, let me now say this one. If I say it, you cry. So let me hide it for another time. But you ought to recognize that you have to be very wise. A young Holy Ghost filled brother or sister, and you are following someone you know very well that this person will not help me. See, it's just a lack of wisdom. You say, I'm in love. What is love? What is love? Tell me. What is it? What is it? I mean, what is it? I'm asking you, what is it? What is love? The love you are saying you are, what is it? See, it's just because you are not wise, but you can't see that this thing I'm doing is not something that will help. What is I'm in love? I can't stop. What can't you, why can't you stop? This wisdom is showing its head all around you, but you can't see. I was watching, I came upon a skit. And I stumbled upon something that somebody said about being a pastor. And when I stumbled on it, and the person was now telling what he was sharing, I said, oh, this thing is wisdom. I shouldn't make this mistake. Yeah, it's wisdom. It's just wisdom showing his head. So you find yourself becoming serious. One of them is not to be a man pleaser. Yes. So I'm not, if I'm dealing with you in any way, I am very sincere with you. Yes. If I say it's black, I just want it to be black. If it's white, it should just be white. I don't want any whatever. So, I'm receiving wisdom. You also will have to receive wisdom in the words I'm giving to you. So, you're going to find a serious person. See, that's a wise person. That's a wise person. That's a wise person. That's a wise person. Because the person takes seriously what is told, given, taught. Yes. I was trying to tell a brother one time, I said that, listen to me. There are a lot of good girls here. But why are you looking outside? There are a lot of good here. I said, you can't see. You can't see. A lot of good girls here. But you are looking somewhere. You see? See, wisdom is very far. It's like it's far away from you. It's something is. I'm trying. This one is a good. It's a good, very good person. I'm telling you. Even when I see good people, I know good people by the grace of God. Unless, of course, maybe God doesn't want me to see. Oh yes. See, I want. What do you call it? Fair. Say no, don't be worried about fair. It took in about 8 months of getting married, you will not have any of those things. You will not have any of those things. Huh. Do not fight for things that are not really important. I'm telling you from today. Wisdom is telling you. So you are going to be serious. You are going to be serious. When you see a young man who is starting life and he gathers money, gathers a loan, gathers whatever, gathers this, gathers that, go and buy one car. I look at it, I say, hey. Your mind is very small. You gather everything, including a loan. You go and buy a car. And then you'll be driving. But trying to buy petrol. And you see some unserious lack of wisdom ladies will say, that's the one I want. Because he's the one that has a car. I can sit in the car. I want to have somebody that has a car. So I'm trying to tell you this evening that a lack of seriousness shows that you are fooling. I want to wake it in a certain way that you will not forget. Yeah. I know the right words to choose. When I say you are fooling, like when you are not you are a fool. You are not wise. Some of the guys, when we see you, we see the choices you have gone in for, say, that's a fool. That's a fool. We can't tell you, but say that that's a fool. That's a fool. Just saying, yes, it's by the grace of God. By the grace of God. And we see that that's a wise person. That's a wise person. That's a wise person. Yeah, that's a wise person. Yeah. When you are wise, you are not impressed by so many things. Yeah. Some of the ladies, the guys you say yes to, will look at it and say, that's a wise person. That's a wise person. That's a wise person, I'm telling you. It's just a matter of years. You get to see that the decision that you made, it was actually very wise. Yeah. Doesn't give you trouble. He will not cheat on you. Make your home miserable. You will not find yourself crying, doing this, that. But the one that will do all those things, the one you are saying, that's also a fool. That's a fool. So, seriousness is going to be seen and directly proportional to a wise fellow. Let's be serious. Drop my scripture for me, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Be serious. Be serious. Be serious. Let's be serious, okay? I'm going to let you go a few minutes. But before I do, Matthew chapter 5. Are you being blessed? Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read from verses 25:1. I want you to have the AMP version dropped here. So, being serious, you would find it with people who are wise. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish. Now this is going to be the expression of their folly, is that they were thoughtless. See that? Yeah, which is also a function of not being diligent, serious. Spode is a Greek word, actually. You're not serious. So there's a 5 of these. Okay, can you pause with the comments so that we can have the scriptures flowing through? Thank you. So 5 of them were foolish. They were thoughtless. When you say someone is thoughtless, it means that it's just the same. It's just a breakdown of a word. Thoughtless. You see, it's like you do not think far. Your thoughts are less. Yeah. It's obvious you'll be having 7 different thoughts about it. You just have 1 thought about it. It's like thoughtless. You think less. Yes, so it's being foolish, thoughtless, silly, and careless. You care, but it's not anything so tangible. And that's the sign of a non-serious person. They are careless. They don't care. Care is very less. And 5 were wise. Now, this is what he explains wisdom as. They were far-sighted, practical, and sensible. That's a serious person. So 5 were careless, thoughtless, silly. The other 5 who were wise were far-sighted, practical, and sensible. For when the foolish took their lamps, they did not take any extra oil with them. They did not take any extra oil. But the wise took flax of oil along with their lamps. So they took lamps. They didn't take oil. You've taken lamps. How are you going to power? How are you going to power the lamps? Some of you are in school. You don't learn.
You've gone to the school, that's taking up the lamp, but no oil. The power up is not there. What will power up the lamp is not there. And it's a sign of lack of seriousness. But the wise took flasks of oil along with their lamps. Now, while the bridegroom was delayed, they all began to nod off and they fell asleep. So they got into whatever it is they wanted to get into without farsightedness, without being practical, without being sensible. So they began to nod off. Then they fell asleep. Then at midnight, somebody shouted, "Look, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins got up, put their own lamps in order, trimmed the wicks and added oil and lit them. But the foolish virgins said to the wise, "Give us some oil, because our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, otherwise there will not be enough for us and for you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy oil for yourselves." But while they were going away to buy oil, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut and locked. Very practical. Serious about issues. Some of you say, "This is ministry I want to do. I want to do ministry. I want to do ministry." But you don't pray. You see, you are not being practical. You are not being far-sighted. You are not being wise. "I want to serve God. I want to serve." But you don't go for evangelism. You see, "I want to be this." They call you for one meeting or the other. You are saying that the meeting is too long and you can't stand. How are you going to do what you said you will do? You are not being serious about it. And it's just because you are not practically putting in whatever it is to make it work. "I'm doing ministry. I want to serve God." Hours of prayer, you're already complaining. How are you going to do the ministry you say you do? I'm going to do ministry. So when you find a serious person, the person is going to be practical. The person is going to put in the effort that is required. The person is going to write notes, reread the notes. You know, one time God told me that, I think he was trying to tell, "You are not serious." Yes. Because I remember he told me that, "Write this thing down, write it down." I told her, "Oh, I'll not forget. I'll remember." And another time he said, "Write it down." I said, "Oh, no, it's in my mind. It's in my mind. I won't write it down." And he said, "You are not serious." When he told me, it was like a rebuke. Nobody told me that, "Hey, what he's saying, go and write it down. And don't say that you will not forget it. It will be in your mind. You will never forget that vision he has shown to you." He said, "Write it down." Say, "I will not forget." Yes. And you see that. Writing is far better a decision to make on anything he tells you to do than trying to even store it in your mind. I realize that. It's far better to write. It's far better to write. Some of you, God is telling you something. Pay attention to this. But you are saying that, oh, I'll do it later. And he said that you are not serious. You are not serious about what I'm telling you. Be serious. And I can tell you, people of God, you will be amazed the increase, the fruitfulness, the flow of the Spirit, the power of God that you will experience in your ministry if you can attach some sense of seriousness. I don't know how it works, but it's very spiritual. It's like maybe even sometimes when God tells me to do something and I realize that I'm putting in an effort to do what he has told me to do, the result is not always the same as maybe another time he tells you do something and then you keep saying, oh, okay, I'll think about it. I'll do it. I'm going to get on to it. The effect is not the same. It's not the same. The effect is not the same. And I can tell you, there's a power in obedience that you will be amazed. In just simply obeying, do that. Go here. Do this. Pray. This week, do this. Go here. Do that. Give this. Pay attention to this. Don't do this. And those simple instructions that come to your heart, if you do them, what a blessing it is. So God is looking for serious people. God is looking for serious people. God is looking for serious people. If you are serious small, he will use you. If you are serious small, I'm telling you, now it's not difficult by the grace of God for God to use you. If you are serious small, he will use you. Small, he will use you. Small. If you are just serious, he will use you. You will even shock yourself as to what you have become. Some of you don't take the teaching seriously. Because you don't even write well. You don't go back to reread it. It means nothing to you. It's like you are just passing. It's not something that... Yeah. But those who take it very seriously. Yeah. Those who take it very seriously. You see that it will be producing results in their lives. Yeah. So from today, you're going to attach serious. I'm not saying don't smile. Smile, do everything you have to. But when it comes to real work, we are going to do something. We are on it. We are doing it. We are doing serious. Yeah. Can play, you can do this, you can do that, you can do serious. We get to it, you are serious about it. Taking your pastor's instructions, serious. You see, that's how some are blessed. Yes, I'm trusting God that everybody here is going to be blessed because everybody is going to be taking seriously. Instructions. Say, you know, somebody is saying, why are you taking your pastor's thing too seriously? Like, I'm I'm a serious person because I'm a serious Christian. And if God has given me pastors after his own heart to feed me with understanding and knowledge, or knowledge and understanding, then it means that I have to take that feeding seriously. Yes. If God has given them to me to feed me, then I have to open my mouth and eat and swallow everything that is given to me. Yes. Rather than you. Some of you, even the words I speak, it doesn't even come back to you because you are not serious about it. The words I speak, it should be ringing in your mind. Words spoken, it should. You see, you must even. I can tell you how to siphon an anointing out of words. Is to either listen to it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, or to write out the words exactly and replay it to yourself. I can tell you things I've written. Yeah. In Kenneth Hagin's exact words. Yeah. Yeah. In exact words. I'm not talking about some words. I'm talking about I pick and I write it there, because whenever I see it, I want to remember exactly how he says it. Yeah. Oh, and I can tell you that there are certain audios that I have portions of words that have been spoken. Yes, because I want to get it very well. Oh, yes. Because I want to hear it and hear it and hear exactly the way he said. I want to hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it again so that I can recite it. But what does your pastor's words do to you? If you take them seriously, that's how you're going to be blessed of them. Yeah. What does God's word do to you when we teach you? What does it do to you? What are the advices? What does it mean to you? The counsel, what does it mean to you? The things that are said to you, what does it mean to you? See, that's how you can become very graced by words. Words are very powerful. Yeah, words are very powerful. If only you can know what to do with those words and what to work those words out. I can show you on my notepad a lot of words in things that have been said exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I type them while maybe Kenneth Hagin is saying, I'll be typing it like, and you see, I'll repeat it again and I'll type it out and I'll repeat it again and I want the words exactly. Yeah. Even whether he speaks in American English or something, I type the same thing, the same American. I want those words. I don't want anything else. How do you pay attention to God's word taught to you? Advices, counsels that I've been giving you. Yes, and this is what differentiates the anointed. Because the anointing is in words. This is what differentiates people who do well from people who will not really do well. It's in the things that have been told you, things that have been spoken to you, the things that have been committed to your hands. Yes, I take things very seriously. Yeah, I take things very seriously. So I'm hoping that everybody around me takes that attitude of being serious. Yes. I take things very seriously. Yes, I take things very seriously. If I didn't take things very seriously, some things will not be the way they are. So you too start taking things seriously. So from today, don't allow your emotions get... You see, when you meet serious people, you think they are emotionless. No, they are just serious, that's all. They are emotional towards the right things, towards the good things, towards the beautiful things. The moment it is not what it's supposed to be, end of emotions. So, we have closed for this evening, and I want to tell you that begin to take things seriously. You're going to be thoughtful, you're going to give it some diligence. There's going to be some level-mindedness at your workplace, your schools, the ministry, the decisions of life you ought to make, the things that you have to do, what you have to get your hands on. Everything, you're going to take it seriously. Everything, you're going to take it seriously. I see you becoming a serious person. And again, with caution, I'm not saying don't smile. So when I see you, and then I say, why are you not smiling? I said, Pastor, you said we should be serious. No, you just know when and where you ought to put up what countenance, right? You know when. Where there's time for laughter, people laughing, quick. Everybody happy, there's time for that. When we get to it, something, we get to a job, we get to something, you are serious about it. All come together it comes together to help. Your schools, the decisions you have to make, whatever you have to do, become a very serious person. All right, Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for people that are serious. Yes, people that are serious. People that are serious. Do your assignments and do them well. Be a serious person. Give some seriousness to the ministry. Today you are there, tomorrow you are not there, tomorrow you are there, tomorrow you are not there, tomorrow you are showing up, tomorrow you are doing this, Tuesday. Attach some seriousness to it, please. I'm tired. You are not serious. That's why you are tired. If you were serious, you will not be tired. If you were serious, you would not be tired. So from today, we are becoming serious people. Let your friends say, hey, wow, that's a very serious person. Yes. Let God say, hey, what is changing about this person? The person has become really serious. Say, Angel Michael, go and help him. Give him some more work to do. Yes, he's a serious person. We can count on him. Take things seriously. At your workplace, take things seriously. Look serious as well. Not facially, but when you are going to work, then you dress like you are going to see a friend. Polish your shoe, you won't polish. You have to start being serious. You polish your shoe. You iron your things. Yes, and you look good. It's a sign of seriousness. Yes. Tomorrow. It's a sign of unseriousness. You like to say tomorrow. When would you just say, I have to do this today, and you do it? That's why people don't like what you call the soldiers. They are too serious. Should they just meet you and they'll be smiling? Have you seen a military police smiling? When you see him, you know that this is a serious person. So you're going to be serious. Serious in every aspect of your life. Sit down. It's your life. And become serious at everything that you need to be serious at. God is going to help you to do well. I want to tell you that nobody is going to build this ministry for us if we don't become serious and build it for God. Nobody is going to come anywhere. I want you to know that we do not have anybody anywhere except for God. So if we don't become serious and build, that's what I'm telling you. This what you call media, sound, whatever, all of these people. Nobody's coming from anywhere to come and do something extraordinary. You are the ones going to do the thing. So you have to be serious. Nobody's coming anywhere. I want you to know, nobody's coming anywhere. We are the people doing it. So I want us to move our mind that maybe somebody's coming from somewhere to come and do something. Nobody's coming from anywhere. Yeah, we are the ones going to do it. We're going to train ourselves. We're the ones going to make the things work. We're the ones going to grow the ministry. We're the ones going to put in our efforts and make sure everything is. Nobody is coming anywhere. Joe Metal is not coming from anywhere. What do you call it? CC Winers, nowhere. Nobody's coming from anywhere to come and build anything. We are the ones building it. Yes. Nobody's coming from anywhere to come and give us the land. We are the ones going to whatever. Yeah, I mean, when I say nobody's come to build it, let me say that very well. I'm saying that we are the ones supposed to build on the land. Yes. Yes. So I want you to remove your mind and say that somebody's coming to. Yeah. I want you to know that there is no other pastor that you have unless you are not in this church. So nobody is coming from anywhere to treat your pastor well and to do whatever. There's no other pastor. If he has not occurred to you, I want you to know that there's no other pastor you have. There's no other pastor. He has not occurred to you that there's no other church you have unless you are not here. Yes, unless you are not, but there's no other church you are. If you think we are under Methodist, or you sort of are like affiliated to assemblies of whatever, or I want to tell you that there is no church like that. That's our church. This what we have is what we have. Yeah. What we have is what we have. So I want you to start thinking that no, this is what we have. And when it's like that, it will help us to be serious. Yes. It will help us to be serious. No money is coming, but we have to give. Don't sit and be waiting for people to give you money. And that's how some of you are not serious. You are living your life thinking somebody's come to help me, somebody's come to send me abroad. So when your uncle doesn't send you abroad, you're now saying he has disappointed you. Hey, take your eyes off everything and let's be serious. Now you are seeing your father's money, you are saying that if he dies, the money will become yours. I wish I could advise you. You are the only one. So start to remove your mind and say, I'm the only person. Let it stick in your mind. See, that is the life I've lived. Eh? Yes. That's the life I've lived. I saw my Ekome fighting, trying, praying, trusting God. Apart from God, I'm not seeing anybody, and I'm just doing what I can do with God. And thank God we have God, you see. So I want you to start removing your eyes from people's properties, people's inheritance. My uncle is in this. He says you send me $200 every month. I'm looking forward to. Hey. I don't want you to be sad. Let's be serious. Do you understand? Let's be serious. I can tell you some things. I've learned sharply and hardly. Oh, my father, or this, my uncle, they'll be looking at you like this. Hey, dude, you are the one that God has called. Dude, when you say God has called you to ministry, okay? You say you should become this, you say, God has called you. That same God that called you, he should show his powers. He should take care of that God has called you. Yes. God has called you, isn't it? Okay. The Lord be with you and with your spirit. But when you are serious, you see, when you are serious, you will push, you'll be inside. You know, say, oh, my father has this number of cars. You see, that's not a serious person. So I will not really, I'm just waiting for him to die. And there are the people that when their father gets to 70, and 75, will say, oh, daddy, you are keeping too long. The father too long ago, 80. Hey. You see that they start murmuring every time they are in the house. They are complaining. You're 40 something. Your father is 80 something. You can't. You've not gone out. You can't even rent your own house. You are waiting for him to die so that his properties will be passed to you. 90. He's still there, strong. 95. You are now 55. You are still waiting for your father to die and give you inheritance so that you can now start your life. You are just an unserious person. Then 100 strong, 100 still strong, and then you are still waiting for you. You don't know that you are supposed to be serious. Eh? Some of the ladies you are here saying, you are here in your mind, you are thinking that, oh, some guy should work, then you now come and eat. Be serious, so you don't know what is ahead of you. So take your eyes off any guy coming to marry you and making you what do you call it, and then you can now sit in front of the car and then you give 7 for people to know that you are there. I'm trying to tell you that you have to be very serious in life. That's why there are many poor people. Oh, they never took it. They were always in the, oh, this uncle will do that. This uncle will do that. My mother will do this. My father has this number of this. Before you realize, your father, his brothers are already waiting for him also. And maybe they've already taken some of the things that they have to give to you. So you don't even know that they have uncles and aunties behind you. Without your knowledge, it's when he goes now that you see that they start to appear. So I'm telling you that be serious with God, be serious with your life. I'm just hoping that, I don't know how I'm going to preach this message again, but until we say something like this again, I don't know. But what I want you to know is that you have to be very, very serious. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for serious people. Yeah. Take your eyes off it. Focus on God. Focus on your work with God. Pray. Work hard. Do everything that you have to do. Don't say that my uncle should have helped me. He didn't. And now you're walking all over with hurt. This verse right, the person didn't help me. My friend didn't. No, please. Please, let's just focus and do what we have to do. Again, let's be serious. Okay?